Of that very important message last week about how many people, just like in marriage, they want the blessings of marriage outside of marriage without the commitment. Many people want the blessings of God without the commitment to God, and they wonder why they don't have all the blessings of God and the answered prayers and the hand of God upon them and the joy and the peace when they haven't committed their lives totally to God. And I think that was an important message. Wanted to remind you of that. And today, we'll be going, this is a new, totally new direction today, and a different message, and we'll be in the book of Ezekiel, hope you're praying for this fall program coming up. It's a big time of year, and a really important time of year. I hope you're praying for God to use it, inviting people for Friends Sunday. If you didn't get those Friends Sunday cards, pick those up in the back table. Ezekiel chapter 11. Today I want to talk about getting renovated. Getting renovated. Ezekiel chapter 11. And verse 14. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given for a possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off from among the heathen, and although I have scattered them from among the countries, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Let's go ahead and pray, and I want to talk about getting renovated. Father, it's wonderful to have the precious words of God, to be able to read the Bible. What a blessing what we just read is, Father. Great promises in here, great knowledge about life and what it means and what we should do and not do and what you will do, Father. It's wonderful, Lord, what's in the book. But Lord, certainly we need the Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. These things man cannot understand, and they're spiritually discerned. We need the Spirit of God to speak to our spirits. And Lord, even if someone today is not saved, they don't know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, I pray today would be their day of salvation, and they would get eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that every one of us would leave knowing we're saved, and then also get rebuilt, renovated, renewed. And I pray to help us to do so and give us your knowledge and your insight and speak to our hearts through this passage and through others we'll read. Lord, we need your help. We beg you for power for the Holy Spirit to work in Jesus' name. Please help us. We ask in his name. Amen. Even though these people have been far from the Lord, they had been so far from God and warned that the process was so long and they had rejected God completely, that God eventually threw them into captivity, what he called it, where other countries came in, took them captive, and took God's people and scattered them around and to other countries, to Babylon and to other places, and their country was decimated, and so they were in that situation because of the choices they'd made, and they were warned hundreds of years before, and then as the process started, they were warned, and then they were warned again right before it happened, and then they were warned while it was happening, and they still chose not to repent and turn back to the Lord, and so they had that, and they had the punishment. And so God told them, even though I've done all this to you, he says, I'm going to be with you where you go. Even though you're in captivity, I still want to be your Savior and close to you. In verse 16, therefore, say, Thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far from among the heathen, although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. And that's verse verse 16. So he wants to be a sanctuary for them wherever they're in captivity. And honestly, there's a period where you have made bad decisions. You've done the things, not done the things God wanted you to do. And you're going to suffer for that because God has not mocked whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Life is not a fairy tale. You do bad things and make bad decisions. Bad things happen. And that's the way life is. But I want to say, when you're serving the Lord in your trouble, like take when I first became a Christian at 16, I had about a year and a half of trouble. The rocks that I'd knocked downhill as I was running down my hill of life were catching up to me. As I had those things and results of my choices and decisions that were bad, and started planting a new crop that was to grow up, that would be blessings that would come. Even in those trials, God was with me and gave me grace to handle those things that were trouble. In other words, if you turn your life around, it doesn't mean if you fix everything, it doesn't mean that you're not going to still have trouble from the things you did wrong. You still will. If you were away from God and had marital problems and ruined your marriage will still... you're still divorced. However, God will begin turning around things and he'll begin blessing. But in the meantime, you're still going to have court cases or whatever the process you're going through. But God will be with you and help you when you're turning around. And he'll help you in your trouble if you'll turn to him. And that's what God will do because he's gracious and he's merciful. And so he'll do that. And he said, I'll be with you. You've been scattered because of your sin. Yes. But turn to me, and I'll be a little sanctuary to you in your little pocket where you are, even though you're not home anymore and you're in trouble. And Daniel certainly saw that, and others saw that sanctuary. And he said to do that. And then he said, I'm going to change them. Eventually, what I'm going to do is they're going to turn to me, and I'm going to bring them back eventually to their land, and I'm going to change them, and they're going to serve me, and I'm going to bless them, and they're going to be my people, and I'm going to be with them, and they're going to do mighty things, and I'm going to do miracles for them. And all that is yet to happen, but it's going to happen to them. But what he says to them in verse 8, well, take it back, some of them actually had that happen to them. Nehemiah, Ezra, excuse me, and others who turned back to the Lord, they came back to Israel. They came back to the promised land, and God was with them and blessed them and gave them revival. Excuse me. However, here in Ezekiel 11, excuse me. I'm still having voice problems here, obviously. All right, Travis, let me read a verse here. Read 18 to 20.
Okay. So Ezekiel 11, verse 18, it says, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I'll give them one heart, and I'll put a new heart within you. And I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abomination, I will recompense their way upon their own head, saith the Lord God.
Give me another water. Yeah. I don't have a cold. It's something wrong with my voice since camp, so... All right. So the Lord's going to give them some new things here. We see, first of all, in verse 19, He'll give them one heart. And I'll put a new spirit in you, and will take the stony heart out of your flesh. Give myself some volume here. So they're gonna have two new things from God, a new heart, and they're gonna have a new spirit, and he's gonna give them new ones. Thank you. So don't worry about me, I'm not sick. I don't me getting you sick. I just got this throat problem I can't lick. So God's gonna give them two new things, a new heart, and he's gonna give them a new spirit. So he's going to give them these things once they repent and come back to him. And so he's going to do that. And so he's going to fix them. He's going to do that. And there's several new things he gives them. The new spirit is an attitude. The Bible says spirit. It's basically the attitude you have. And we see that in verse 19. I'll put a new spirit within you. He's also going to give them a new heart. Your heart is your emotions and your desires. It's the very seat of your emotions. He said, I'll take your stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, they had a hard heart. That's why they wouldn't respond. They had this heart that was a rock, and it wasn't listening to God, and it wouldn't respond. God said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to fix that problem, and I'm going to fix that in you. We'll read some. Well, let me take it to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. And it's amazing how God can take a hard-hearted person and make them a tender-hearted person. I've seen that in my life, and I've seen that in many people. People who are tough, people who couldn't show their emotions, people who had to show everybody how tough they were and that they wouldn't cry, and they changed where they could weep openly, where when God spoke to them, their heart responded, where people they didn't mind hurting before, and now their heart was tender. The Lord can do that for you and give you a tender heart. Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and I will make you a new heart and a new spirit. And so he can give us the new heart and the new spirit. And then chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So both those things again. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. So again, he's saying, I'm going to take out your stony heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take your spirit that's not good and give you a new spirit. And so he says he'll do that. Psalms 51:10 says, restore, right, renew a right spirit within me. Psalms 51:10. And so he says, take not the Holy Spirit from me and renew a right spirit within me. And so he can give you a new heart and a new spirit. He's going to give them that. And then I'm going to read out of Isaiah, which is before Ezekiel. And again, I'm just reading a lot of verses of new things God will give us. And Isaiah chapter 1, he can give you a new record. This is probably the one I like best. I like the new heart. I like the new spirit. The spirit is your attitude and your strength, and but he's going to give you a new record. Can you imagine if I could go down to the prison, or even some of us who've had backgrounds, and say, you know what, I'm going to give you a new record. All your whatever the crime was, how about no evictions, a new credit record? It would be pretty awesome to get a new record, wouldn't it? Better than that, God can give us a new spiritual record. You know why? Because all of us have a record that's messed up. All of us have sin. And God wants to give us a new record. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God can give you a new record, a spotless record. Amen? Amen. A spotless record. God can also not just give you a new heart and a new spirit and a new record. He can make you a whole new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can become a whole new person through Jesus Christ. Now back to Ezekiel. Let me take it to chapter 18. He can also, the greatest thing is, he can give you all these new things. But first of all, you got to want to be fixed. Anybody here have been in ever renovated a house? Anybody here ever renovate a house? Now, here's an amazing thing. Many people bought a house they didn't know 6 months before was a junker. But you know what? It's amazing what you can do to a house. I mean, an expert builder comes in to do a renovation, and they will tear down a lot of stuff. I mean, sometimes, depending on the house, let's say a house was, all the walls had holes in them, the roof had leaked, there was mold in the walls, the drywall was rotting, the sink was broken up, the counters were stained and messed up, the carpet was nasty and stained, the house stunk. I mean, the house is a complete disaster and wreck. And the person who sold it for dimes and the dollar just to get rid of it, or they turned it over the bank. And somebody came in and said, you know what, I see this house has got, you know, it's got some potential here. You say, no, it looks terrible. It stinks. It's bad. But they bring in the right people, and all of a sudden, you know, you tear down the walls, just tear out the drywall. You tear out the insulation. You rip down the ceiling. You tear down all that insulation. You rip up all the carpet. You find boards that aren't good. You replace those boards. You put new carpet on there, you put new insulation in, you put new drywall in, you put new sinks in, you put new cabinets in, you rip out the old cabinets, you slap a new thing of paint all the way around it, put a new door on it, replace the windows, and you completely renovate the house, and you walk in that house, and it smells new. And it looks beautiful. And it's what we call renovated. The house, I mean, new sinks, and now they got the big fancy sinks, and everything is shiny, and everything's new, and everything smells good, and the carpet's beautiful and fluffy, and everything's new and renovated. You said, man, that old house, all it is the frame and the foundation. But you know what? It's been completely renovated. Now the house is clean. Now the house is great. Everything works great. The windows open and close. The carpet doesn't stink. The walls are not sagging. Everything is completely redone. And it's renovated. It's made new. They put new siding on the outside, a new paint job, and you'd walk up and you think you were walking in a new house. Because completely renovated. And that's what God can do to us. When he says we're a new creature, and we'll read several verses later that say we're a new creature, the word renew that he's going to use, it's actually the word renew. The word renew in the Greek literally means renovated. That's the word means. It means renovated. But one thing, the owner has to want it to be renovated. See, I've seen some houses I've gone inside and said, this house needs renovated. But you know what? They didn't want it renovated. They didn't want to put the effort into it. They didn't want the cost of it. They'll just stay inside of that thing, though. I've seen houses. The floor's rotting. There's black mold all over. And you know what? They'd rather not move out and get the work done and get it fixed. And they'll let that house just rot to the ground before they'll get it renovated. And that's some people's lives. Ezekiel 18, and look what God says here. He says, I can make all this new stuff in you. But he says you got to do something first. Verse 30 says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and I will make a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. You've got to decide you want to be gutted. I want to say, when I got my renovation in my life, it was because I didn't want my old life anymore. And you can try to talk yourself that your house is okay and your life is okay. And your house might be terrible. But you know what? We'll tolerate a lot and stay in a bad condition for a long time because it's our comfort zone. But you know, I don't think you fix a house by just putting another layer of drywall on or another layer of paint on. There are some structural things. There are some things that need torn out. And it says, repent and turn and put away these things from you, he says. And I think you really got to say, I don't want this anymore. And I didn't. I didn't want the old world anymore. I had the world and sin and all that stuff. And I said, I don't want this anymore. I want Jesus. I want something different. And he says, you got to turn. You got to truly repent. And then you can be renovated. God can come in and tear down the walls and give you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, a new creature, a new record. God wants to do that for you. But you have to want to be made new. See, a lot of people don't want to repent. Repenting is saying no more. No more. Repenting is saying this wall is rotten and I've got to get rid of the wall. Not saying I'm going to put another layer of paint on this rotting wall. And you got to repent and say, I'm putting these things away. Cast away from you all your transgressions. See, true repentance, the repent means two words. It means to change your mind. It's I no longer want this. I am repenting of this. I want to be renewed. I want a new life. And if you're happy with what you have, then you don't need to repent. But if you want a new life, if you really want Christ, Christ does not come in and slap a new layer of paint on. Christ makes it new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And God wants to renovate you. God wants to make you in a beautiful, shiny house. God wants to bless your life and make you have a wonderful new life. But it truly comes by repenting and wanting him to make you new, which he says over and over, I can make you new. I want to give you just how to be made new. And just a few things. The message is not complicated. Well, let's go through it quickly here. And how to be made new. Number one, start new with being born again. Being born again. John chapter 3, what a beautiful phrase the Bible uses. I love this phrase. Jesus answered, John 3, 3 through 6, 7. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Listen, Jesus said you won't get to heaven unless you're born again. And if you've not been born again, understand, you will not go to heaven until you get born again. You can live a good life, you can go to church, you can be a nice person, it will not matter. Jesus said, and he's the one who decides, he says, I'm the door to heaven, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, you must be born again. That's the Bible says. Being born again is a simple process where you say, you know what, I'm a sinner, my sin has separated me from God, the wages of sin is death, I can't go to heaven because of my sin, I need someone to save me. And Jesus Christ is the one who died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And you believe that he's the Son of God who died for your sins. And you put your faith in him to save you. Not in being baptized, not in being living a good life, not in going to church, not in your religion, not in Open Door Baptist Church. None of those things can save you. Only the one who died on the cross can save you. And you come in faith and say, I need Jesus to save me. And when you do that, the Bible says you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. Some people say born of water and of Spirit. That means you have to be baptized. That's not at all what it says. Two verses later, it says what it means. That which is born of the flesh. He says, they said a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, that's baptism. No, it's the wrong order. Spirit comes first, and then baptism, even if that were the case. But he says, that which is born of the flesh is of the flesh. A woman's water breaks when she has a baby. It's born of water first, then you're born of spirit. And that which is born of the flesh, he says, is born of the flesh. It's obvious. He's talking about first birth is your physical birth. The second birth is your spiritual birth. And thank God, 28 years ago or so, I came and got born again and got saved. Thank God that Jesus Christ came in and made me a new creature and saved me. He came to live inside of me and began changing me. He became my Savior, and I was born again, and all my sins were gone, buried in the deepest sea. But as far as the east is from the west, the Lord removed our transgressions. You're born again. It's wonderful. The Bible says when you're born again, you begin to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 in verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let me tell you, when you truly get born again, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you and something changes. I mean, you have God inside of you and you're born again. And you know what's wonderful? I need a born again. We all do. And in your pride, you can say, no, I'm a good person. You know what? All of us are sinners who come short. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. You need to be born again, just like all every human being, except a man, be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And you will find out that being born again is the first step to being made new. And I want to be new. I don't want to be the old me. Number one, if you want to be made new, you got to start by being born again. Number two, you got to be renewed every day. Be renewed every day. Let me take it. I'm going to reread now to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 16. It says this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That word renew right there is renovate. Literally is what it means. Renewed day by day. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, the new man is renewed by knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lamentations, beautiful verses in Lamentations. I'm going to read to you. Lamentations 3 talks about every single day being renewed by God's mercies. First, this is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. That when I recall this to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, every single day, starting today, every single day, God's mercies are new every morning for you and I. Listen, you want to start again, you need to start again every day. It's a great secret to life is starting again every day. The inward man is renewed day by day. I had a terrible week this week, you might say. And we all have those sometimes, don't we? Doesn't matter. It's a new day. Today's a new day. You know, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Too many of us live in yesterday. You know, today you can be a new person. You say, oh, I've done this and I failed in this and I did this wrong and I'm bad at this and I did this. I'm this. Quit living in yesterday. You know, today you can be a great Christian. You know, today you can be brand all new. You know, you cannot mess up like you did yesterday and last week. And you say, but I'm an addict. How about you renew yourself today and don't be an addict today? I don't know how I can do that. How about you just do it today? Just do it today. Well, I blew it last week. I mean, you know, or a year ago, I ruined this and ruined this. Okay, fine. But you know what? Today's a new day. Today's a new day. It's only 12 o'clock. Probably haven't done too bad of damage yet, have you? Most of the damage is done late at night. But you know what? You can be a great Christian for the rest of your life. Just start today. Just be renewed day by day. That's the Bible says. God's mercies are new every morning. They're waiting there to say, forget about all that. I have mercy for you. I'm not going to punish you. Just be new today. You know, you have If you'd quit looking backwards, if we'd quit looking in the rearview mirror at the ugly area we were just in, we can drive to vacation. If you quit looking at the ugly area you were just in, you know what? Just do be new today. God's been really working in my life. I've been asking God to give me revival and just to work with me and start with me. And by the way, we're talking about revival tonight in church. We're second part of a revival message. And God's, what he has started to do with me, and he did this week specifically, and he's been doing two things with me, and they've both been great. One of the things he did with me this week is he just renewed me. I found that I was bogged down with just piles of things. And there were some things that I was supposed to get done, I didn't get done. And there's things, there were projects I was working on that weren't getting anything done. And I had piles of things, papers everywhere, and things I was not getting accomplished and not getting done, and things I wasn't finishing, and things that were just bogging me down. And I forgot to do this and didn't get this done and didn't have time to do this. And I was just bogged down with everything. You know what the Lord did to me in my case? He says, you know what? These things are already past. This can't get done now. This can get done later. And he just had me take a whole bunch of junk and notes and papers and all kinds of things, advertisements that I was going to order something and get stuff out. He said, just throw it all away. Have you ever done that? I can hoard things sometimes. I am not a good thrower awayer. How many of you are hoarders? You don't throw things away very easily. And I'm going to use it someday. And I just had all these things. You know what? Everything here is replaceable. And if you need to do it in the future, you'll find another one. And so I just threw stuff away, threw projects away, threw notes away, and just said, you know what? I'm starting right now. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do from here on and get it done. You know how refreshing that was? I'm not saying if you have something important, and don't throw your bills away, okay? But it'd be great if they just really went away when you threw them away. And let's have a bill-burning party. But, you know, I'm not talking about things like that, but there's just so many things that I kept on saying, man, I didn't get that done. I said, you know what, from now on, I'm going to get everything done I was supposed to get done. I'm going to reorganize. I'm going to quit getting bogged down at these things. And I'm going to get this, you know. You can start again today. You can be a good Christian today. Well, I'll fail in a week. Don't worry about a week. Today. We renew day by day. Can you read your Bible today? Can you pray today? Can you come back to church tonight? Can you not go and smoke, drink, chew, or run with those who do today? Can you just do it today? Be renewed every day. And then get up tomorrow morning and just say, I'm going to have a great day today. You know, you can be renewed day by day. You can be a bad Christian and all of a sudden one day, and today could be the day you say, you know what, I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart and serve the Lord with all my heart and live for the Lord, and you can start today, and from now on you'll be a great Christian the rest of your life. Amen. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Start again. Be renewed today. Just be refreshed today. Spend time with God today. Quit living in your failures. You were a grump and nasty to everybody yesterday. Be nice today. Well, you were all grumpy yesterday. You were a grump yesterday, and you were mean to everybody in home, and you were nasty yesterday, and all of us have those days. What do? You walk up, and you walk to people and say, you know what? I was real grump yesterday. Get it right today and be refreshed today. You failed last year. You know what? Succeed today. Be renewed day by day. God's mercies are new every morning. It's a new day. The only person who can drag it in is you and drag the past in. I don't think you're as excited about that as I am. I'm very excited about that. God's been working that in my life. I have no failures in my life right now. I started all over when I woke up this morning. I had a new day. God gave me new mercies. I have a new chance to not mess up and to do good and to do great things for God. And you know what? I'm going to have a good day today. Be renewed day by day. If you want to have a new life, don't live your life in the past. Don't live a month at a time. Just every day, have a good day. Just focus on today. That's all you have to do. Be renewed day by day. It's the first day of the rest of your life. And you know what? I haven't messed anything up yet because it's today is the only day. And I'm refreshed today. And I'm going to do the things from now on that I'm supposed to do. And you can just renew day by day. Just start over. God's good. He lets us do that. Amen. He's merciful. And I'm glad he does that. Number three. And just the good news is everything will be completely new in heaven. I'm so glad about that. See, because God gives us a new spirit and he gives us a new heart and he gives us a new record and he makes us a whole new creature. And thank God, I am saved. My sins are gone. Your sins are gone. If you're born again, you're saved. You're going to heaven. And you know what? You can have a new day and be refreshed and your spirit can be renewed. And all these verses on renewing. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature and we're born again. And all that's great. But you know what? We're still in a messed up world. And you know what? Our bodies don't get renewed every day. We have aches and pains. And some of us are suffering with pain. We get coughs when we're not supposed to get them. In heaven, I'll preach for 10 hours. Everybody will stay awake and my throat will be fine. And everybody will pay attention. And there's aches and pains, and some of you, you just got physical problems that are gonna last for the rest of your time. But you know what? In heaven, everything's new. It's not even renovated. I mean, it's all new. Let's look at Revelation 21. Heaven's one of the greatest things about heaven, and heaven's awesome. There's so many great things in there. Fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. All those wonderful things are great. There's a lot of great things about heaven. Streets of gold. All the great things about heaven, the mansions we'll all get. But I think my favorite things about heaven are in Revelation 21. In verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21 and verse 6. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give to him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. You know what the Bible says? He makes everything new in heaven. Our new bodies we get, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, an incorruptible body. It can never get injured, hurt, no arthritis, no migraines, no memory problems, no backaches. It's a brand new body. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, it'll be nice. No more tears. Never another sorrow. How can there be no more sorrow? How can you never feel bad again? I have no idea how that's going to work. But you know what? I wouldn't mind trying. I wouldn't mind trying. Nobody ever dies again. No more death. The former things are passed away. No more tears. How are you women ever going to win an argument again? And no more tears. That'd be great. See, in heaven, we're someday. No more corruption. No more worrying. No more crime. No more broken down cars. I need to have some cars need renovated. Listen, in heaven, everything's new. We recently, my cars, here's the process of my cars. God's good to me, and I buy cars, and they're not very nice cars, but they're okay. And then I squeeze every bit of life out of them. I mean, I can make a car last. My last two cars, one I had 8.5 years, and I bought it for $2,000. got 8.5 years out of it. The next one I bought for $1,200, and I'm on my 6th year at that one. And drive them into the ground. And eventually what happens is I'm pretty good with cars, and I keep this going. And then this starts breaking, and I say, that's not vital. We'll go without that. And there's the little light there, and that little light, that's a pretty little light. You know what? I don't need to fix that light. And you can even put duct tape over the little light section. You know, lights, it's not even there if you can't see it. But actually I find out what the light means, and I find out, oh, oxygen sensor, it's running fine. And then you start getting squeaks, and you start getting rattles. And all of a sudden something else starts going. Then you get a little leak here, and a little more fluid comes out, and then you say, okay, how often do I need to add the fluid to there? And it's much cheaper to add a little bit of oil than it is to replace a rear main seal. And so then I figure that out, and then I keep it going and keep it going. And then all of a sudden, the problems start getting more and more and more. And pretty soon, there's about 18 tricks I have to drive my car. And somebody says, can I drive your car? And I say, okay, first of all, the key only works when you turn it this way. And you got to put your foot on this and make sure you don't do it this way. And when you stop, you do this. And don't do this. And never turn these two things on at the same time. And then I give them all the instructions. And then I'm thinking, okay, this car's starting to go. Well, my Suburban, my beautiful, totaled, I bought it on a rebuilt, salvaged title Suburban. And then I got it wrecked. And somebody hit it again. And kept on driving it Suburban. And my Suburban, it started enclosing with big problems. And then it went, and then finally the transmission went after everything else went. And I had two gears. No, I had three gears. I had reverse. That's important. And then I had first and second. Boy, I could still roll with that. I drove the thing for almost 3 months with those three gears. And I could back up, and I can go around town, and I can go 40 miles per hour. I drove it to church, I don't know how many times. But it also had the water pump went. And I'm not saying it was leaking. Leaking's, oh, that's no big deal. You can take water with you. It was pouring water out. I put 2 gallons in it in 7 miles between home and church. That's how bad it was leaking it. And then, boy, just everything was going at once. And finally, I said, I got to get rid of this guy. So God gave us a new vehicle. Oh, I felt like I'm driving in a Cadillac. I am driving a limo. I mean, this thing. It's 2 years newer, but it is, nothing's broke on it yet. So I called around, try to find somewhere to sell my old one. I called the junkyard, and I said, well, these guys offer this much. How much you give me? And I pitted them against each other. Finally got the best price. Guy calls me and says, you know what? I'll pay you this much because my wife says she wants it. And I said, you don't want to fix this thing. He says, oh, you know what? I have a junkyard. I can get all the parts for it. I said, well, here's what's wrong with it. This and 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 this. He says, that's fine. I'll fix it all. I said, you don't understand. When I'm done with the car, it's done. And he said, nope, I want it. We're gonna fix it. My wife's going to drive it around. And I said, okay. Renovate away. You've been warned. I didn't even have to teach him all the tricks. He'll have to figure them all out himself. And you know what? At a certain point, you say, I'm done with that. And you know, at some point, this old life and this old world, you find out it's so overrated. And you've lived your life, and you've done your mileage, and you've done your work for God. And you say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Anytime, I'm ready for a new one. A new body, a new life. I'm ready for this old world. You know what, this world, why are people living for this world? It's a messed up world. And don't get me wrong, I love life. It's a blessed life to serve God in America. I'm blessed in so many ways, but you know what? This life is overrated, and everything's deteriorating. And it's time, anytime Jesus wants to come back and fix this old world, take us to heaven. Even so, come Lord Jesus, because someday everything's going to be new. So don't get too down. because your car's breaking down. Amen. And don't get too down because your body's breaking down. Or because the world's full of troubles and the bills never quit coming and the temptations never stop. You know what? Just realize you're going to get a new model pretty soon. And it's all going to be new. And you'll be in paradise for eternity. And the only thing that will matter is what you did for God. And it won't matter how much money you made. It won't matter how many troubles you had. It won't matter how bad your body hurt. Matter of fact, if your body's hurting now, when you get to heaven, you're going to be jumping more than all of us. And you're going to be excited. Because God makes all things new then. Now, He can make it new in your spirit and your soul and your heart every single day. If you've got a bad attitude, a bad spirit, a bad heart, a bad anger, anything, God can make you new today. If you'll repent and let Him come in and start doing some rebuilding. But you know, the greatest thing is we all have that new coming. And after driving my junky old Suburban with two gears and water leaking everywhere, and it had every other issue in the world, and getting in my new Suburban, everything works. It's got leather even. Ooh. My old one had cloth. You know what happens to cloth seats with 7 kids in 9 years? Leather seats. That's a new invention that I've just discovered that's good for kids. They don't stain them. Hallelujah. Popsicles in the car. And you know what? I get so excited because the old one is just tired and worn out. And when you get tired of your old life, you go to God and He'll give you a new one. When you get tired of this old world and all the troubles of it, just be patient. You got a brand new model coming. New body, new life, new soul, no sorrow, no trouble, no bills, no heartaches, no weakness, nobody dying. Because God can make all things new. Let's get renewed. Let's get renovated. Let's tear down the old junky stuff and let's get a brand new kitchen. Brand new sink, brand new bathroom, brand new floor, brand new carpet, brand new walls. A new life looks pretty good, even though the old one is pretty messed up. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. I pray that anybody today who's not born again and get born again. I pray today that those that are born again would be renewed day by day, and all of us would put our affection on heaven and realize that we don't need to get down. We got everything being new in heaven. All of our regrets and bad memories are all gone. All of our weakness and sorrow are gone. All things are new. Thank You for that, Lord. I pray we wouldn't live in broken down and old and sorrowful and live lives that aren't renewed. I pray we'd live a renewed life and walk in newness of life day by day and then get to heaven and rejoice in the newness. Help us not to like old, dilapidated, failing lives. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.